forward to getting to my eternal home. I'm tired of dealing with the devil every day. My backs are killing me right now. Just let me know this old frail body, it's going to fail.
Yeah.
But it's going to give way to glory, and I'm going to get a glorified body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just have to deal with the present for now, but not forever. And you know, if we have hope in this life only in Christ Jesus, we'll be of all men most miserable. But I'm persuaded better things, things that accompany salvation. One of the things that the Lord left for us to be comforted by, He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it was not so, I'd have told you. That's a good reason not to be troubled. It's so. It's so much better.
Yes.
He's so soon coming. I'm so soon ready to get out of here. And the sooner the better. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we can all testify to the fact that it's been a rough week. My wife's car went belly up again Monday. And sadly, it was the same thing it was the last time, except this time it come unplugged. The cam sensor come unplugged. That wasn't enough. The compressor went out on our central air and we're all burning up. But it could be worse. And my bikes are killing me, but you know, it just tells me I'm an old man thinking I ain't old, but I am. But we're going to read this morning quite a bit of scripture. I've had this thought on my mind all week long, and I waited even to this morning to be sure that this was the direction that God wanted me to go in, and I'm pretty sure this is the direction God wants me to go in. I'll know here in a minute for sure, but I'm going to go with what God said, preach the word, son. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort thy long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come, do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, the heat themselves teachers, have an itch and ear to be turned from truth to fables. I'm going to preach the word, but we're going to read a bunch of scripture this morning. I'm going to read all of Genesis chapter 1 and almost all of Genesis chapter 2. A lot of scripture reading this morning. We'll get caught up on our Bible reading this morning.
Yeah, that's right.
But Genesis chapter 1, we'll just go with it. I know we've got to get with it because I ain't going to preach that long, but I do want to preach. I don't want to wear you out. We can just digest so much. But in Genesis chapter 1, God tells us the account of creation. And verse 1 of Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning. Now, I know man wants to go back billions and billions and billions of years and help himself. I'll be honest with you. Man is contrary to God. The carnal mind's an enemy with God. It reasons against what God says. But God put it in here so you know how far to go back. He said in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's where it all started at. God created it.
Right.
Somebody said, where's God's beginning at? Let me explain that where even these two little boys here can understand it. Because of God, things are. Without Him, nothing is.
That's right.
He's before all things. By Him, all things exist.
Amen.
He spake, it stood fast. He commanded, and it was done. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And it tells about the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Me and my wife watched a movie last night. And the name of that movie was called Let There Be Light. It's about an atheist. And a Sean
Hannity.
I was trying to say how to. I knew how to spell his last name. I wasn't sure how to say it. Sean Hannity on Fox News.
Yeah.
He's the one that produced this movie, and it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
We watched it last night. It conveys a great truth. But the name of the movie is called Let There Be Light. Notice when God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, And God divided the night from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. By the way, we're children of the day, not the night. I was a child of night. Night before I become into the light. But the evening and the morning were the first day. The first day was called day and night. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. I like that wording, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, capitalized that by the way, and the gathering together of the waters called He seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth, it's not capitalized this time, let the earth bring forth grass, and grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. This is not that complicated. No. This is simple enough, even these two little boys can understand this terminology. I know people say they can't understand the Bible. This is easy to understand.
Yes,
and the earth brought forth grass. We've been mowing this week. Brother Harvey talked about he got his all mowed and weed-eated. That grass, God said, it proceeded from His hand. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, so far we've been reading about creation.
Yes.
Now we're going to get into God's order here. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God made everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Now God didn't get tired. He just stopped His work.
Yeah.
That's what that means. He rested on the seventh day. God, He didn't get weary. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't get weary. He wasn't tired. He just stopped the work that He done on the seventh day, and He finished it and rested from the work that He done. When I say rested, I know we think about being tired and resting. He just stopped the work on the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all the work which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And notice this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Yeah.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, where He put the man whom He'd formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah. There is gold, and the gold of that land is good. That's where I need to go do some digging. There is Beledum and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon. The same is it that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. I may not get these names pronounced correctly, but Hiddekel. That is it which goeth towards the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. I want to stop our reading right there, because I'm preaching today on law and order, and I just read the order of creation, how God made everything.
That's right.
Then after everything, Brother Mitchell, God gave a commandment, and the commandment's found here in chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. There's the commandment of God.
Right.
And we just read about the order.
Amen.
Of God, where He created everything. We'll go to God in prayer. Y'all pray with me. I want to preach today on law and order. Father, we thank You for not only the record of creation, the Word of God, Lord, that You gave it to us that we could know not only our origin, but Lord, what You had in mind for mankind, how you made everything good. Yeah, you blessed it. How it was good till man corrupted it. Help us today to understand our faults. Help us to understand our failures. Help us to return, Lord, to the blessing of God. We know, Lord, that Your Word says that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. Your Word says when the righteous run authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. We just pray, God, for Your help today. Lord, our nation is one that needs the help of God. And I pray, Lord, not only You bless our effort to preach today, but Lord, may You fill in the blanks. May You give us, I pray, not only, Lord, the words to say, but Lord, the Spirit to say them in. And we'll give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I read a lot of Scripture this morning, but there wasn't no way around it. I wanted to read in detail how God in detail gave the account of how He made everything.
Yes, right.
I mean, God took nothing and made everything, Brother Mitchell. Nothing plus God is everything anyone needs. I'll take nothing with God over everything that you can offer. Nothing plus God is all a man needs. God took nothing and made everything. And even though we can't understand that, God just asked us not to understand it, but to accept it. And man has a hard time accepting what God did. And then after God gave the order of creation, He gave a law. The purpose of that law was for the benefit of mankind. Without a law, man needs law to keep things in perspective. So, to put things in perspective, God gave the man that He created a law. And this law is a good law.
Amen.
God said you can eat everything out there, just one tree, don't eat of it. It's a good law. But the problem with God's good law was the law's weak through the flesh.
Yes.
And through the flesh, we can't keep the law. God gave the law. The law was a good law. And the purpose of the law was to prevent sin from entering into the world. And the Bible tells us by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin.
Amen.
But the law was good. The weakness of the law was the flesh. But the purpose of the law was to prevent sin from entering into the world.
Yeah.
In Psalms 19, God tells us a little bit about law. And He says the law of the Lord's perfect. I mean, you can't perfect it. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It can't be improved upon. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. And I'm in the wrong chapter here somehow. Oh, I'm in Job, no wonder. That'll make a difference.
Yeah.
In Psalms 19, verse 7, it says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
Amen.
Now, amen. The purpose of the law, you notice there in verse 11, is to warn. God gave the law, and God warned. He warned Adam. He said, the day that you eat of that one tree, the day you break that one commandment, He said, you're going to surely die. Even though Adam may not understood what death was, God did. God put this law to man to prevent sin from entering into the world, to point out the deadliness. The Bible said in Romans chapter 7, verse 7, that the law, you know, it's got its place. Even though man don't want it, man needs it. And Romans 7, verse 7, it says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet it. This law is needful. It's how we know the difference between right and wrong. We've got the law even in our heart. Even if you take them out of the school, it's still in our heart to know that some things are right. And the Bible said to him that knoweth to do good, to do it not, to him it's sin.
Right.
And that sin is where the consequence of the law comes in. The purpose of the law is to point out sin. The purpose of the law is to show us we have a problem with sin. We love sin rather than righteousness. I'm telling you, man loves darkness rather than light because man's deeds are evil. But the purpose of the law is to show us that we need help. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. I don't know why I wrote that down there, but I want to look it up real quick here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for ungodly and profane, for murderers, for fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjurious persons, and if there be any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, the law is there to prevent those kind of things from continuing.
Right.
That purpose of that law, our president, he's a law and order president.
Yes, he is.
We've had so many that don't not only stand for law, but they don't even want to acknowledge the need of law, and they try to do away with law. I'm just wondering if anything's wrong anymore either. In America, we're so broken.
That's right. So
bent.
That's right.
We're in such trouble. But the thing that will help us, fellas, is the law. The law puts the finger on the problem.
Yes,
the law puts things in perspective. By the law, people, by the law, Brother Mitchell, people don't break into your house.
Right.
By the law, we don't have to have the police to enforce the law.
Right.
But we're lawbreakers, Brother Hardy. We're hell bent. We're rebels. The Bible says, woe to the rebellious children.
Yeah.
And that's sin to sin. We've got a problem, and our problem is we got a problem with law. You put children in a room, and you give them one law. You say you can do everything, but it's one thing. That's the one thing they'll do.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think they got that from Adam.
Yeah.
But oh my, the purpose of the law is to show us we need help. The problem with the law is that it's weak through our flesh. We're sinners.
Right.
I mean, we've all sinned. We're all guilty.
Right.
We're all rebels. I mentioned about Isaiah 30 verse 1 says, woe to the rebellious children. God said that add sin to sin.
Yeah. That's right.
Our works are evil. We don't want law. We want to somehow have a utopia where there's no law.
That's right. Right.
I don't know how I can frame this here. You try to teach your children right. You try to raise them right. They still break your heart.
Right. That's right.
But the Bible tells us a whole lot about raising children. It says tell them. Teach them. Teach them right things. Tell them right things. And raise up a child in the way he should go. Train him up.
Yeah.
Child left its own, the Bible said, to bring its mother's shame. You need somebody to help you. You don't realize that. I didn't realize that. We got two ears to listen to more than we talk. We talk more than we listen.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to listen. Your parents aren't fuddy-duddy. They're not trying to keep you from things. They're trying to help you with things. They're trying to pass wisdom on.
Right.
I wish I'd listened better, Phyllis.
Yeah.
I look back with regret that I didn't listen.
Right.
I remember all those that tried to help me, but I just couldn't listen, Brother Mitchell. I was so convinced that I knew more than all of them.
Right.
I think that's the devil. That persuasion is evil. That we think that we don't need help, and yet God so clearly says that we need help.
Yeah.
And His law is there to help. His law is there to put perimeters up. And you know, the problem with the law is we don't want law. We want somehow to be free from any law, to somehow to have everything okay, and everything ain't okay.
No, it ain't.
The penalty of the law is death. The Bible said by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And we hear them now. I know my rights. I saw a man being arrested by the police one day, Brother Ed. The policeman's arresting this boy. And I don't mean to be racist here, but he was a black boy. And the police was arresting him. And the black boy said, I know my rights.
Yeah.
Well, if this criminal has rights, how can you enforce the law?
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly.
I mean, when you break the law, you forfeit your rights.
Right.
And he squalled out, I know my rights, and that policeman let go of him because he thought, well, I'm going to get in trouble right here. Listen, they're law enforcement officers, and the only way they can enforce the law, Sister Sharon, is by forget about the rights of criminals and enforce the law.
Right.
Now we come down to a sad day when a criminal can say, I've got the right to break the law.
Yeah.
Not in America, and I hate to say this, but they've got a rude awakening coming up, because God is going to convince all of all their ungodly deeds that they were wrong and He was right all along. But the penalty of the law is, my friend, you break the law, you suffer the consequences of it. In our Sunday school lesson this morning,
yeah,
we read one verse, Brother Mitchell, and it was Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11.
Yeah.
That verse says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil.
Yeah.
Now, I was telling Brother Ed this morning, he was all his hair then hard to read and showed up, and we had more than we wanted to used to. But I was telling him, you know, that the consequences of breaking the law, if there's no sentence against it, then it just fully gets out of control.
That's right.
But you take someone, let's just take, for instance, a school shooter. Let's use that for an example.
There you go.
A young boy goes into school.
Right.
He thinks he's got a right to get a gun from his dad or from wherever and go in there and just shoot everybody up, Brother Jerry.
Right.
You take that boy, and before the cameras of the whole world, and you publicly condemn the actions of that boy,
right,
and say, this boy has killed 7 people, and now he's going to suffer the consequence of his actions, and you publicly hang him,
yeah,
or put him before a firing squad and shoot
that's
him,
right,
and it'll stop. Bad facts.
Yes,
but when you look the other way and make exceptions and somehow or another make excuses, I mean, he's got mental problems. Who don't have mental problems?
Yeah, that's right.
Hello! I'm preaching out of here.
Come on, man.
I mean, but I might have been crazy for 34 years. I might be a little crazy now. But I'll tell you one thing, I ain't as crazy as I used to be. I'm a fool for Christ now. I might have been a fool for the devil 34 years. I'll tell you one thing, I ain't stupid enough to go to hell over sin. I run to Him and said, I'm as guilty can be. And I need to be redeemed from the curse of the law. I need someone to buy me back from the law of sin. And Jesus said, I'll do it, glory to God.
Amen.
Man, my back's feeling a whole lot better.
Amen.
But Sister Rita, they'll say, he's got problems. It's in his genes.
Yeah.
It was his upbringing.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to tell you something, buddy. There's no cloak for sin.
Nope.
No.
Bible said all the world come guilty before God, and the world
that's
is
right.
guilty before God.
That's right.
Well, our
right.
problem is, Brother Mitchell, we don't want law. We don't want to keep the law.
No.
But we don't want to admit, Sister Sharon,
that's right,
that we're guilty of breaking the law.
That's right.
We want somehow some kind of exception,
right,
some kind of excuse, some kind of exemption that we can escape the penalty of breaking the law.
Yes.
We don't need to look for escape. We need to make the law what it is.
That's right.
And what it is a peace. Maker, blessing of the peacemakers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When the law is enforced, we have peace.
Right.
Now, I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. When the law is enforced, people think twice about doing things they shouldn't do.
Right.
When the law is not enforced, and I said this earlier, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin to reproach to any people.
Yeah.
When the righteous have authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Our predicament is we don't have laws enforced, and we got a president now, and I don't want to get political here because I claimed my other, I told Brother Ed this morning in a Sunday school class, we was talking about Baptists and Catholics and Presbyterians and Church of Christ, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and everything else. And I told him, I said, Brother Ed, I claim to know none other but Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Right.
Man, if you got any sense about you at all, you're putting in that same affiliation.
Right.
Paul said, I claim to know none other but Jesus Christ. He said, some claim to be of Apollos. Some claim to be of Cephas.
Yeah.
Some claim to be of Paul. He said, were they crucified for you? He said, I thank God I baptized none of you except the house of Stephanus.
Yeah.
We need to be careful who we pledge allegiance to. I pledge allegiance to my Lord and my Savior.
That's right.
But listen, our problem is we're trying to do away with the law. We're trying to somehow have peace without law.
Yeah.
And when a criminal says, I know my rights. That's when that policeman should have slapped him about four times. Jeff slapped him with a billy club over the top of the head.
That's right.
And said, boy, your rights were forfeited when you broke the law.
That's it.
Now, that's a common mistake I see happening a lot in our day and hour. Somehow or another, these crazy liberated communists in our country have tried to supersede the laws of our land. And not only that, those Ten Commandments hanging over on the wall over there, you might say, well, I keep all of them but one. Well, James chapter 2, verse 10, 11 says, if you break one of those Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all of them, and you're a transgressor of the law. But he that broke the law, back when they kept the law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 28. We could probably use a little bit of that right now. We become a lawless society.
Yes.
And we're paying the price for it.
That's right.
And that's why I said, brother, load the gun.
That's right.
Lock the door. Turn the dog loose.
That's right.
And say, see? I'm telling you, I'm sad, but that's what we've succumbed to.
Yeah.
We come down today, it's not safe no more.
That's right.
They break into your house, they steal your children. If that ain't enough, they'll come into their minds in your schools and through the TV program and everything else. I'm telling you, it's a sad day. Thank God for the church. It's probably the only outreach left that they haven't corrupted. And I know they hate the church, they want to do away with it, but the Bible said God loved the church, gave Himself for it, and we need the church. I'm telling you, buddy, this law, God gave it. It was needed.
Yes.
You got the purpose of the law, the problem with the law, the penalty of the law. Then you got, this is my favorite part, the perfecting of the law. What the law couldn't do through the weakness of the flesh. And I said this earlier, I was as guilty could be.
That's right.
I was without hope, without God.
Right.
I was an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and I got somehow pardoned by one hanging on the cross.
Hey,
blood stained over the cross.
Right, that's right.
Hanging on that bloody cross, Brother Mitchell, beaten beyond recognition, lips bruised.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we don't really have a picture of what it looked like, because I believe it turned our stomachs to see the terrible beating and suffering he had to go through.
Right.
Just to be able to utter out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And God accepting the sacrifice of His Son, and it satisfied the wrath of God. And God said there remained no more need for sacrifice.
Right.
I'm glad that exception was made for those that realize that they're sinners. He perfected the law. was as guilty could be.
Yes,
God offered me mercy, and Brother Ed, I took it.
Yes.
Jesus took my place.
Yes.
He suffered my punishment. I got to go free at the expense of His love for me.
Right.
The law made no one perfect, Hebrews 7:19. But Jesus made my salvation perfect through the suffering on the cross. I'm telling you, glory to God. Therefore, He's not ashamed to call me one of His. Amen.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. Come on.
Man, oh man. He might have been ashamed of me before, Rita. But He ain't ashamed of me no more.
No, right.
He said, I gave a heart and a leg for Eddie Bivouac. I can't understand His love, but I'm glad He loved me.
Yeah,
I'm glad He loved me.
Yeah,
He gave Himself for me.
Amen.
Bible said one day He's going to present me without spot,
right,
without blemish.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. So I got some in you right now. We'll sing this song right now.
Right.
Oh my, Brother Harvey. He's going to present me a perfected work.
Right.
He's going to say it took a long time, but I finished it. He's fit for heaven now.
Right.
I might have learned everything the hard way, Rita. I might have struggled. I might have strained that, swallowed a camel.
That's
but I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said He had begun a good work in us when we did it today, Jesus.
Yes,
He's still working on me.
Yeah,
I'm still in the Father's hand. One day I'm going to be a vessel fit for heaven and better than heaven. And when I am, He's going to put me on the mantle and say, that's one of my trophies. I had to go a long way. I had to pay a lot. I had to suffer a lot, but it was worth it. Amen. We can't understand it.
Amen.
He made the captain. Y'all get this. I know we're Baptists here. Phyllis, He made the captain of my salvation perfect.
That's right.
That means they got to find fault in Him to get to me.
That's right. That's right.
And if they can't find no fault in Him, He's my justifier. He's my sanctifier. He's my redeemer.
That's right.
He's the one that's going to present me before God. And I'm going to be accepted in the Beloved. I'm going to say, I'm guilty. And He's going to say, you're forgiven. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Joanne won't have to worry anymore.
That's right.
It'll be worth it all.
Yes, it will.
He made my salvation perfect. The law made no one perfect. Matter of fact, the law, being the measuring stick of God, showed us we all came short. But Jesus was that compensation that made me measure up. Amen.
Amen. Good preaching.
Amen, Sister Rita. And not only did He perfect the law, but the plan of escape was offered to every sinner.
Yes.
And there'll be no excuses accepted.
Right.
Romans 1:20 said they'll be without excuse. There'll be no escape other than Him. Hebrews 2:3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Only a fearful looking unto judgment. Hebrews 10:27. But God has offered His Son for you. John 3:16. And he that has the Son has life. 1 John 5:12. He that has not the Son of God has wrath. John 3:36. God set before you life and death. And He says to you, choose life. Listen, God's a very merciful, gracious, understanding, long-suffering Creator. Brother Ed, He made everything right.
Yes, He did. Right.
He made man right. One of our verses this morning was in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. Lo, this I found, that God made man upright, but they sought out many inventions. See, God made us right, didn't He?
Right.
But then somebody come along and said, yeah, but.
Yeah,
and
right.
Those inventions, when I say inventions, it's things that are contrary to what God said. They said, I evolved. God said, I was created.
Right.
They said, I was born this way. God said, I'd be born again another way, Sister Sharon.
Right.
They said, I'll never make it. He said, you can't through me. And
that's
I'll
right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Man's
that's
best faith's all to get a vanity.
That's good.
But God gave the best He had for man and vanity and measured me up to the standard of what's required to have a home in heaven. I'm going that way. The reason I'm going that way is because I've been bought and paid for. Praise God. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over. And Christ, my Passover lamb, was crucified for me, rose again for my justification, and coming back for me, I'm expecting Him today. And if He shows up, I'm leaving out. They talking about separation of church and state, Brother Harvey. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
God's going to take the church out. They're going to have all the separation they want. They're going to look high and low rent. And they ain't going to find me nowhere because I'm going to be in my exes out of here. And the faster I get out of here, the sooner and the better. Amen. But I'll tell you what, they're all about separation of church and state. They're going to get it. It's coming.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe coming sooner. Then they think, in my pastor mirror on my truck, it says objects in this mirror are closer than they appear. That's the way it's going to be with us leaving out of here, Phyllis. It's closer than we realize. We're soon to make our exodus.
Yes, we are. The
Bible says now is our salvation here is when we believe. God set everything in order.
Yes, He did.
And then He set one law.
Right.
One law. We couldn't keep one, much less ten. Those 10, believe it or not, they cover everything. And if anything's left out, they'll take care of it. That's right. Not cut. They cover it all.
Right.
That one right there will take care of all the ones that made a lot of them out of them nine.
That's right. Amen.
That one right there will take care of everything that right there left out.
Yes, that's right.
I'm guilty, Rita. But I've been abundantly pardoned.
Right.
I'm not going to run. Jesus. I'm going to run out to meet Him. I'm not going to run from Him. He's not going to be ashamed of me when He comes.
Right.
He might have been ashamed of me before, but He ain't ashamed of me now. And the reason He's not, because the blood's been applied.
Amen, that's right.
That blood, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. He shed His blood for the remission of my sin.
Yeah, right.
God accepted that blood. And on the merits of that blood, the Bible said we're not being redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. It's a terrible price to pay, but He is willing to pay it. He gave that price. He gave that ransom, and the devil had let us go free.
Yeah.
And praise God, we're free indeed. Now, I mentioned yesterday, I don't know if I mentioned this to y'all, but I think I mentioned it to Brother Ed before y'all got here. I had a man show up at my house last night to get a couple of 14-inch tires I had out there. I wasn't really using them for nothing. He needed them. I said, yeah, come on out. And I got to talking to him. He said he's saved, but he'd been out of church for a while. And I'm talking to him, and I'm looking there, and there's three girls sitting there in the back seat, and I'm making an assumption here, but I figured those three girls was it. I said, are them your three girls? He said, no, just the middle one. Well, you know, Brother Eddie, I'm kind of like Paul. I went in so small and great, night and day with tears. I stuck my head in that car, and I said, how are you three girls to do it? He said, fine. I said, how old are you? I've been a little nosy, I guess, Sharon. One said I'm 14, the other said I'm 15, the other said she is 14. And I said, well, my daughter got killed in a car wreck. I said, she is 17. I said, she lived 17 one week. But she made preparation against that day for it got here. She gave her heart to Jesus when she was 10 years old. And I said, as terrible as that was, it made it more bearable for me and my wife, who had to pick out her coffin, that we was not without hope, and we had a thread of hope. I said, don't leave your family with no hope. Let them know. Make sure you're saved. Make sure they know you're saved, because they may very well have to bury you. I had their attention, Brother Mitchell. I'll tell you what, one of them, I really had her attention. Her eyes in the background, she looked like a deer in headlights. But I said, look, I said, I know y'all got intentions of living to be 71. Everybody don't do that. My daughter probably thought she was going to live to be 70.
Yeah.
She left that at 17. That's why I say it.
Right.
The Bible says, seek the Lord early while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Those that seek Him early find Him. I've always wondered if that meant early in the day, early in life. Either way, seek Him, find Him, lay hold on eternal life.
Amen.
Make sure not only that you are saved, but that others know you're saved. Leave behind some comfort. Leave behind some hope. Let your family know that you'll see them.
That's right.
Sister Joanne said she's missing Jerry.
Yeah.
She said that's all on her mind. And God gave her this promise. He'd bring him with Him.
That's right.
When He comes.
Yeah.
We'll be caught up in the air and be with them.
Yeah.
And so shall we be with the Lord. I'm glad for that hope. I'm glad for that blessed hope.
That's right.
I got a daughter up there. I got a mom and dad. I've got more family up there than I got down here. I'm the last Mohican in my family. But God gave me a promise He'd bring them with Him when He comes.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to Him coming.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing them again.
Amen.
And I tell you what, when I see my daughter, praise God, they're going to be a neck hugging like you never seen in your life. And somehow or another, we're going to make wrongs right. Somehow or another, I'm going to say, honey, I miss you. I love you. She said, I miss you. I love you. But it's so much better up here. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Law and order. We're never going to fix our problems without law and order. There needs to be law and order in the church.
That's right.
There needs to be law and order in your home.
That's right.
There needs to be law and order in the school. Students shouldn't be spitting in teachers' faces.
No.
They wouldn't do that for. They wouldn't do that one time, me brother. They'd be picking themselves up saying, "Where did you spit his face?" They wouldn't have to.
Right.
I'll make an example out of one. He'd be a fool. I'll make an example out of him. They wouldn't do it for one time, Jerry. I swear he was up there taking it. I do believe in backing up the law. I mean, the law is no good if it ain't backed up.
That's right.
You put a law up there, if it ain't enforced, it's no good. But I'll tell you what, you go in there and kick somebody's hind end real good, and they'll realize that law is real, and it's enforced, and I'll tell you right now, it'll work.
Yeah.
Amen. But we need law and order.
Yes, we do.
We're missing it. We got a president, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
He's all for law and order. That's why they hate him.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have done the math on all this, but see, we've become a generation of rebels. We don't want nobody to tell us what to do. We just need somebody to tell us.
Right.
We don't want it. We just need it.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, with law and order comes, you know, the Bible said they hated him without a cause.
Yeah, right.
They hate our president. He's without a cause.
Oh, yeah.
Let me say a little bit. I'm going to get just a little bit political. I know this ain't good, but he forfeited his wages.
Yeah, right.
He's a millionaire.
Yeah.
He don't need the job.
No.
He stepped down just to allow all of this ridicule, all of these troubles, in order to help you and me.
Yes, right.
Where's the gain in it to him? He wants no recognition for anything he does.
No.
He said, all I want to do is give you country back. You think, Sharon, somehow or another, we salute, pledge allegiance to someone that's just trying to give us our country back from a bunch of communist anti-Americans trying to steal our country out from underneath us.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, just do the math on this thing. He don't need the money. He don't need the trouble.
No.
But like Christ, he stepped up to the task.
Right.
He said, I'm going to undo this,
right.
I guess you call it a chokehold or neck, whatever you call it, you break the yoke upon our neck off. We've become politically poison. And I don't want to get political, so I'll take that as far as I'll go with it. But that's what the Lord did. He come down here to break the yoke.
Exactly.
Matter of fact, He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, my yoke's easy. My burden's light. He said, you'll find rest under your souls.
Yeah.
Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29. We'll go anywhere but to Him. Somebody said, a woman went to a doctor, Rita, and the doctor had said, man, we've tried every medicine known to man. We've tried every procedure known to man. He said, I only know one other thing to do. And she looked at him hard and said, what's that? He said, we'll pray about it. She said, oh my God, has it come to that? And you know what? That's the way we are. We'll accept everything but the help of God.
Amen.
She said, has it come to that? Listen, when it comes to that, just remember that works. Amen.
Yes,
the Bible said, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church.
Yeah.
Let them lay hands on them. Pray, calling upon the name of the Lord.
Right.
If they've committed any sin, they shall be forgiven. And the prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
While y'all was out, so Rita hollered at me and said, while everybody's gone, let's have a word of prayer. I always welcome prayer.
Yeah, that's
what
right.
a blessing it is to be able to come to the throne of grace
right.
and say, God, can we talk for a minute? I've got a petition I need you to grant.
Right.
Have you written in glory?
Yeah.
I'm glad, praise God, nothing's impossible with Him.
Amen.
All things are possible through Him. If we just got enough sense to bring it to Him, we'll find out, praise God. He's a very present help in time of trouble.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, buddy, you may not be able to fix it, but He can.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Law and order.
That's right.
Oh, how we need it in America. Yeah. We got problems. And I'll tell you what our problems are. We got a problem with law and order. We become rebels. We become not only a bunch of rebels, but we become a bunch, I don't know, of but one that can bring back law and order to America. The Bible said, Brother Ed, he's going to rule with a rod of iron.
Amen.
Man, that's my kind of God. He's going to bring this one back. With a rod of iron, buddy, he's going to get their attention, everybody. He's going to put it back where it needs to be, and he's going to make sure it stays right there.
Right. It
ain't going to get out of hand no more.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
With a rod of iron, Brother Ed, he's going to rule the ring.
Yes.
But it ain't nobody going to argue with him either. Father, we thank you for the admonishment of the message today. If I did make a mess, Lord, I pray you'll fix it. And I pray, Lord, with great great help, you'll help us, Lord, to take these things today and land our heart and understand and ponder upon them. We might understand, Lord, why we've got our problems. Lord, we're transgressors from the womb. We come out of the womb speaking lies. Lord, we love darkness rather than light. Our deeds are evil. We need your help. We won't even ask for it, much less, Lord, allow you to help us. Lord, I pray you'll intervene. I pray you'll compensate. I pray somehow, Lord, that you would, even here today, help someone. I pray you will be done. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to get Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon, please. I maybe sing the verse of invitation of him. I don't want to worry you out on giving invitation. It's just I never know what God's doing.
That's right.
I'm just a messenger boy, and I'm not much one to dad. But if God is speaking to you, and there's something you need to do, we'll give you an opportunity to do that right now. Last get everybody to be standing for just a minute. I won't keep you. But if there's something you need to do, maybe God's been speaking to you through this whole message. I don't know. I just know one thing. I've done my part. If there's something you need to do, right now is a good time to do it.